Today's scripture reading is from Exodus 14. Moses parts the Red Sea and delivers the Israelites from slavery in Egypt. Hear now the reading. Here, brothers and sisters, is how it really happened. Moses and the Lord delivered the Israelites from slavery in Egypt, and they fled into the desert. And the armies of the Pharaoh were right behind them. And they were so close that the Israelites could see the sunlight glinting off the weapons and the body armor of the Egyptians. And the Israelites were headed straight for the sea. And the Egyptians knew they had them. And the Israelites were sore afraid. And they cried to Moses and they said, "Why did you bring us out? Were there no cemeteries in Egypt that you had to bring us to die in the desert? Why didn't you leave us alone? It would be better to be slaves in Egypt than to die in this miserable desert." But Moses said, "Be not afraid. Stand firm. The Lord will protect you, and the Egyptians that you see today will never be seen again, never again. The Lord will deliver you." And God said to Moses, "Tell the Israelites to go forward into the sea, and I will part the waters, and they will go in on dry ground, and I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they will follow the Israelites into the sea, and then the Egyptians will know that I am God." And so Moses put out his hand over the sea, and the Lord parted the water, and the Israelites went in, and they were on dry ground, and the water formed a wall on their right and on their left, and they were on dry ground. And the Egyptians followed them into the sea, all of Pharaoh's army, the chariots, the chariot drivers, the horses, all of them followed the Israelites into the sea. And the Lord clogged the wheels of the Egyptians, and they turned slower and slower and slower. And the Egyptians said, "Let's get out of here. The Lord is fighting on the side of the Israelites." And God said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea that the water may cover the Egyptians." And at dawn, Moses put out his hand over the sea, and the water returned to normal levels, and all of Pharaoh's army, the chariots, the chariot drivers, the horses, all of them were covered over, and none of them remained none of them, not one. And thus the Lord delivered the Israelites that day. And the Israelites saw the Egyptian dead on the seashore. And they believed in the Lord and in His servant Moses. And they sang a song of victory. And that is how it happened, brothers and sisters, how it really happened. Glory be to God. Amen and amen. Let us pray. Still speaking God, be with us this morning as we celebrate the liberation of all your children, and as we seek to find truth and light in your holy word. Amen. Today we honor Juneteenth and the liberation of all peoples everywhere and in all time. We are asked in Deuteronomy to remember how each of us were slaves in Egypt and how the Lord our God saved us. Now Moses, the liberator of the Israelites, was not a particularly nice person. For one thing, he was a murderer and a fugitive from justice. When God spoke to him and told him to go to Pharaoh and say, "Let my people go," Moses said, "No. No." In fact, he offered excuses and tried to slip off the hook 5 times. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't recommend turning down a command from the Old Testament God even once. Not surprisingly, God prevailed and Moses went. And ultimately, the Israelites were freed. After wandering in the wilderness for what must have seemed like forever, they crossed the Jordan River into the Promised Land. The slaves in America who were able to escape or run away from their bondage crossed the river too, the Ohio and the Missouri rivers. From there they reached the comparative safety of the northern states or of Canada. God used water as an instrument of liberation. Occasions such as Juneteenth and the reading of the book of Exodus of the slaves out of Egypt call on each of us to become participants in God's work of overturning oppression, speaking out against injustice, and bringing healing and reconciliation to every aspect of God's great creation. So while the Exodus story resounds with divine action, it also highlights the necessity of human action as well for the mission of liberation. God partners with Moses, commissioning him as spokesperson and prophet. God partners with us today in speaking out about injustice. The history of American slavery shapes and touches the life of every African American, and ultimately each and every one of us as Americans. This painful history changes how all of us must hear and understand the Exodus story. African Americans' history of struggle also creates for all of us a solidarity with those who suffer under modern-day slavery. Friends, We live in a world in which the United Nations estimates that 21 million people are victims of slavery or forced labor today. That's more people enslaved today than there were when slavery was legal. Princeton scholar Lisa Bowens writes, "Israel's groans, the groans of the African American ancestors, and God's response to these cries of agony allow us to remember that while cries for justice may go unheeded for a time, God does not forget nor remain silent forever." So let us celebrate God's redemptive and liberating activity in the world. God is still speaking indeed. Throughout our history, water has been an enduring symbol of God's continued presence and saving grace. Even before the world was molded and shaped, God's liberating spirit was moving over the waters. We read in the Genesis creation story that on the second day of creation, God said, "Let there be a dome in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." And it was so. God called the dome sky. And so, out of the waters, God created the heavens and the earth. And on the earth, life emerged and flourished. Thus, God created life on our planet and set the animals and humans free to begin to populate the earth. The waters of creation became the waters of salvation for Noah and his family, and for the Israelites fleeing from slavery with Moses. The waters of baptism set the Hebrews baptized by John the Baptist free from slavery to their sins. The living water set the woman at the well free from her bondage to sin and shame when she encountered Jesus. On the eve of celebration of the liberation of Passover, Jesus washed the feet of his disciples, symbolically setting them free to go forth to plant new churches and to baptize all the nations by the water and the Holy Spirit. Today, in that same ancient tradition of waters of liberation, we will baptize Desiree Diana Marsh, granddaughter of Diana Shalzi. With the symbolism of the water, she is brought into union with Christ and with each of us and into the church in every time and place. Her baptism, like that of each of us, freely given as a gift from God, and it is given as the mark of her acceptance into Christ's church and life. Her baptism will take place here by this large candle, which is the Christ candle. This light symbolizes the life and resurrection of Christ, which carries the promise of salvation and eternal life to God's people. This promise of salvation liberates all of us, just as the Israelites were delivered long ago. As she accepts this gift of baptism, Desiree will be asked if she accepts her role as the body of Christ in the world. Christian mystic Therese of Avila has voiced the responsibility of all of Christians to be representatives of Christ's love in the world when she wrote, "Christ has no body but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he looks with compassion on this world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands with which he blesses all the world. Christ has no body now on earth but yours." And the mission of Christ on earth is to set all people free from fear, despair, loneliness, and death, and to send us forth in love and service to each other. The liberating message of God's love through Christ is free will, love, and the promise of life in God eternally. It was this love and this promise that the African-American slaves sang in the spirituals that we lift up today in this worship service. And it is with this love and this covenant that we go forth each day to serve others, to speak of justice, to act in compassion and forgiveness. It is the liberating love of God that freely and unconditionally offers us hope, forgiveness, healing, and salvation. Glory be to God. Amen and amen.